Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How is your day going so far? How has it been going? Well, have you signed your signature lately? Whether today, yesterday, 4 days ago? If you have any copies of whatever you signed your signature on, and you place those side by side, do they look exactly the same? I know my signatures don't look exactly the same. In fact, they look pretty different. In fact, my signature, as it looks today, looks very, very, very different from my signature from 4 or 5 years ago. And that one looked very different from my signature from maybe 10 years ago. Now, part of the problem is I don't write well. I'm just going to be honest with you. My writing is what I call artwork. Yes, I call my handwriting artwork. It's just not the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your life. And of course, you know, artwork isn't always that easy to decipher. So I don't call it hieroglyphics. I just call it artwork. It doesn't look like artwork, but that's what I call it. And my signatures can be very, very different from one writing to the next, much less from 1 year to the next, from 1 decade to the next. And we have a problem in Georgia. You know, we have all these, the people who want to suppress other people's groups, communities, abilities to vote and have their votes count are constantly coming up with creative ways to disenfranchise people of color, people whose votes they don't want to have count. And it's so interesting that the people who are always coming up with ways to disenfranchise others, at least in recent history, are the Republicans. The Republicans slash conservatives. So now we have a situation wherein in Gwinnett County, Georgia, we have a lot of ballots being thrown out because the Republicans figured, hey, you know what? We know this for a fact. We've known for decades that people can sign their signatures and the signatures don't necessarily look exactly alike. Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we come up with a law that says if the signatures don't look exactly alike, we'll say we can throw out that person's vote. And that's something that is so highly subjective that we can make sure we really get rid of the votes that we really don't want to have count, that we don't want to be a part of the final count, the final tally. And that way, that'll be just one more clever way for us to disenfranchise people of color in general and the black race in particular. We can get rid of some of those votes for Democrats. And so in Gwinnett County, they've been throwing out ballots on the premise that signatures are not matching. It just so happens that two-thirds, this is nowhere close, two-thirds of the ballots that they're saying need to be disqualified are ballots cast by people of color, ballots cast for Democrats, ballots cast for Stacey Abrams. So the count is still on as they're getting rid of. Isn't that interesting? We're talking about, again, African Americans making up what percentage of Gwinnett County? And 33%, roughly, 67%. Can you imagine that? 67% of the votes that are being thrown out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be honest now. Let's just be honest. Come on. Gwinnett County is roughly 38% white, 26% almost. Let me just round these up or down to the nearest whole number. Gwinnett County is 38% white, 27% black, 21% Hispanic. And 67% of the ballots being thrown out are those where the people would be voting for Stacey Abrams, primarily ballots cast by people of color. Do we really think that's just coincidental? Do you really think that that's just the way it is? Their signatures, the signatures of people of color tend to mismatch significantly. And so they don't know whose ballot is really being cast. They don't know who's really casting that vote. It is such a shame that we have such immoral behavior going on so relentlessly. And the immoral behavior that I'm referring to is the immoral behavior of coming up with ways to disenfranchise. That is immoral. Lying is involved in it. Deception is involved in it. Malice is involved in it. A desire and an intent to oppress is involved in it. So immoral. And the pursuit of these immoral activities is relentless. For all we know, if all the counting were, if everyone counting the ballots, if everyone involved with this process were completely honest, for all we know, Stacey Abrams would have won this thing outright from the beginning. When I say from the beginning, the first round of the general election, for all we know, Secretary of State overseeing the process that will either get him elected or would get his opponent elected. I agree with the people who say he should have resigned his position as Secretary of State from the very beginning and let someone else oversee that process. That would have been the ethical thing to do. Then, at least as that is concerned, there wouldn't have been even the appearance of impropriety. But now that we have this going on, it makes you wonder even more. What has the former Secretary of State, because I understand that Brian Kemp has finally resigned that position and declared himself the victor, even though the people who make that decision have not declared either him or Stacey Abrams the victor. It is so sad that in 2018, we still have millions of people who are in favor of fraud, of coming up with ways to poison, to contaminate our electoral process, just to give themselves in one way or another the upper hand. They could care less about ethics, they could care less about morality, could care less about honesty, could care less about fairness. It's a shame. But it is our reality. And what can we do? And when I say we, I mean all people who care about right, who genuinely care about things being done right. A person here, a person there. I mean, the lies that are told, the deception, try to make it seem like fraudulent voting is such a huge issue in America in general, Georgia in particular, and it's such a small percentage of the voting process that it is truly negligible. But all the efforts and activities put forward to oppress the vote of the Democrats in general, people of color a little bit more particularly, and black people even more specifically, is ongoing and is real. We know that. We're fully aware of the fact of voting sites being changed at the last minute, people finally being notified of it. Fully aware of the fact of still having blockades put up to prevent people from getting to the polls. Specific types of ID being required in order for a person to be eligible to vote. Let's close the polling sites where people who would tend to vote for Democrats would show up. Let's close those earlier than the ones where people who tend to vote Republican show up to vote. Let's say the signatures have got to match. And that way we can subjectively throw out the ones that we really want to get rid of. It's a shame that this is still so much a part of American culture. The determination to disenfranchise so many people of the right to have their vote counted and to have their vote count. Some of the craziest drawing of districts for the purpose of gerrymandering. Well, what do we do about it? Definitely, we need to be asking God for his help. No question about that. But we need to also be talking with the right people to let them know, hey, look, this just can't work. And, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be making sure that voting is part of our lifestyle. How would things be today if folks had gone out to vote faithfully in 2008, 2012. People going out to vote faithfully. What percentage of the people who are eligible to vote from one election to the next refuse to vote? Well, I'll tell you what I want to do. I really want us to be thinking about all of that. Of course, another question I have is, are the people who refused to vote in 2012, maybe even 2016? Are you really pleased with the results of having refused to cast your vote? Whoever you are, and remember, it wasn't just one person who made that decision. One person, and a second person, and a third person, and a hundredth person, and on it goes. Are you pleased with the results of your decision not to vote? Well, I had mentioned some time ago that I would be bringing back a theme, a feature of the program that I really enjoyed doing, where I would play some songs throughout the week. I wish I had started this yesterday for this week, but I'm starting today, so I might double up today so that we can really get the songs in. But I'd play some songs, and I would give you the name of the group or the name of the musician or the name of the composer, the name of the song. I'd give you information, and then I would feature, and I'd usually play one, sometimes at most two songs per day. I'd feature two songs, and I'd let you know this is the featured song, because sometimes I would play two different songs by two different artists, but only one of those would be one of the featured songs for that week. I'd let you know which song was one of the featured songs of the week. Then I'd come back Friday and quiz you. I'd ask you, okay, tell me the name of the artist, or give me the name of the song. Sometimes I'd ask you to give me both. I want you to really be on your P's and Q's now. I'm going to be asking you to give me the names of composers. Now, here's the thing, though. I'm going to tell you the name of the composer. Whatever I'm going to ask you on Friday, when we sum up those songs, I will have told you throughout the week as I featured the songs. All right? So we're going to go to the movies. Now, stay with me. Some of these, we're going to feature some beautiful orchestral music. Stay with me now. I want you to feel the emotion in these songs. I'll tell you just a little bit about each song that I'll be featuring. Well, each movie that the song will have been featured on. And I'm going to start this week with a song entitled The Theme from... See if you can tell me what movie this goes to. How many of you are saying, that does sound familiar? Let me see. Now, I know I've heard that song. Give me a clue. Okay. Here's your clue. The movie was essentially about vacation time, summer vacation time. And in the movie, which largely featured three teenage boys whose families would get together each summer, vacationing in the same area. And one of those teenage boys just kind of, I guess you could say, kind of fell in love with, became infatuated with a lady who had just moved into the area with her husband. He had joined the military. It's coming back to some of you, right? Yes, her newlywed husband joined the military and was sent off to war, where unfortunately he died. As you can imagine, his young widow was crushed. I'll give you some more about that in just a few. Let you think about that. I've really given you a better clue than you realize, by the way, when it comes to the name of that song. All right, back in just a few.